I need your prayers this morning. The Lord is very, very good to us. I was thinking about some of the songs that were sung and being ready. It's going to mean something to be ready. And we have a lot to do with how well and how ready we are. We can either employ the ways of the Lord, or we can spend a lot of time listening to the ways of the enemy. This morning I'd like to talk about keeping track. You know, we like to keep track of a lot of things in life, and we make lists. And I don't know about you, but I spend a lot of time making lists of things that I need to do. It makes me feel good to cross things off the list. That feels good. But many, many times I forget to look at the list. I forget to take it with me to the store. And then I'm trying to remember what I wrote on the list. Sometimes I lose the list. But we spend a lot of time figuring out and putting in order things that we think need to get done and things that we need to keep track of and remember. The Lord wants us to remember some things, and he wants us to keep track of some things, but the enemy also wants us to remember things and keep track of things. So we want to start in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, 31 and 32. It says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." You know, we keep track of a lot of things in our life. Most of us can think back over our life, and we can think of quite a few bad things that have happened along the way. And we remember them. And we remember them fairly easily. It's not as easy to draw back and to pull back into our minds the things that are the good things. But many people have bitterness from the way they were raised, from the way somebody treated them, from the way they were talked about or whatever. They have bitterness and wrath. They experience all these things down deep inside. And instead of letting the Lord heal those things and take them away, they keep track of them. We don't do it many times intentionally. It's not something that we're consciously aware of. But there are times that we do. Have you ever had a time when you said, "That's the third time they've done that"? See that? You're keeping track. You're keeping track of something. It's something that's foremost in your mind, and you're bringing it forward. That's the third time that, you know, they say that all the time. We're keeping track. They never do that. We're keeping track. The Lord wants us to make sure that we're not keeping track of the wrong thing. So it says anger. There's many times that there's anger that is in our lives from anything that could come our way, anything that could be bothering us or whatever. We can have some anger, and we keep track of that. We sometimes we pet anger a little bit, and we let it kind of smolder in our bosom. Now, we know better than to let it out, don't we? We know better than to let it out. We know better than to let words fly, and we know better than to stomp through the house or to slam the door or, you know, all those kind of things. We know better than to do that. We really know better than to roll our eyes, but we do it. We do it. Why are we doing that? We're keeping track of something and holding on to something that we shouldn't be holding on to. You know why we roll our eyes. We roll our eyes because we're keeping track of, oh, they're doing it again. And we roll our eyes. Or they're saying it that way again. Or can't they ever just leave that subject alone? And we're rolling our eyes. We're keeping track. And the enemy wants us to keep track. All of our disappointments in life, he wants us to keep track of those things. There are people today that are crippled in their adult life because they have kept track of all the wrong things. Instead of letting those things recede into the background, they have kept track of the wrong things. It says clamor. You know, clamor is just drama. You keep track of drama? We all have some drama in our families, don't we? Yes. We all have some members that are in our families that are, a lot of them are not saved, and they create a lot of drama. Yes. And we have a tendency to keep our minds on the drama and everything that's happening, and it's happening here, and this is happening next, and oh, look what they're doing, and what's going to happen, and we keep track of all those kinds of things in our mind. And it pushes out the things that we need to keep track of. Evil speaking. Like I said before, we know better than to speak evil. But you know, we can wrestle with evil speaking in our mind all day long. Yes. We can wrestle with it. You ever had a time when you were needing to speak to somebody about something, and you wrestle all day in your mind about what you're going to say, counting up what you're going to say and how you're going to say it, and you have a scenario in your mind how this is going to work. You even talk about the other side and what they're going to say. You know, you think that if you say it this way, they're going to say it that way. And the whole time, what we're doing is we're trying to make sure that when we're done, they get the message and we're on top. We rehash it through the day. Well, if I say this, oh, then they'll say that. That's not good. You know, they might not understand what I'm saying. I want them to really understand what I'm saying, but yet we know we shouldn't maybe say it in a rough way. So we try to manipulate it and go, and we're keeping track of conversations. We keep track of words that have been spoken to us throughout the years. There are many, many words that have been spoken to us. Evil words, discouraging things. This is life. This is where we live. And of course, there's going to be those kinds of things. And we keep track of them. And what we can bring those things back to memory. So easily, we hear somebody's name and we can remember something about them. We can remember that they, you know, well, they said something to me one time, or, you know, they treated me a certain way one time. We can recall all those things. God wants us to recall the good things, not the evil things. He wants us to keep track of the good things. All of the things that we keep track of in our mind that go to the evil side, that the enemy wants us to concentrate on, those things rob us from the good things. It says, be kind to one another. Well, we know we're supposed to be kind, but you know how we are? Sometimes we say, people will say, well, I'll be kind to them when they're kind to me. Or they say in their mind, in a very pious way, I'm going to be so kind to them, but there's a because in your mind. Because they spoke so bad to me. We kind of want to line it up. And it's always about the negative side. It says, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven you. Forgiving one another. Oh, there's so many things that are unforgiven in this world. So many, many things. When we have truly forgiven, we can meet that person. We can greet that person. We can be loving to them. When we see them, the first thing that comes to our mind is not what they did to us. It's not that anymore. When we truly forgive, but you know how we are, we say, we know in our minds we're supposed to forgive. We're supposed to. And we know that God said that he wouldn't forgive us if we don't forgive others. So we know what is supposed to be done and what is supposed to be said. So we do it. We do it. But there's more to forgiveness than just an outward thing and just a mind thing. It's actually something that takes place in the heart. And that it erases something in the heart. So that when I see them coming, I don't flip around and go the other way. Or I feel uncomfortable meeting them. I feel a little uncomfortable greeting them, you know, putting my arm around them or giving them a little greeting. I feel a little uncomfortable. That shouldn't be. If there's real forgiveness. Because, you know, we were in some awful places and the Lord hugs us. He greets us. He comes to us. We just simply asked him for forgiveness and he just washed it all away. And he doesn't remind us of it and he doesn't keep track of it. And he doesn't look upon it every time we come to him. And he's not saying to us, that's the third time they've come to me for the same thing. He doesn't do that to us.
Thank the Lord.
It's as if it's the first time again.
Yes.
For him. He doesn't keep track or keep count on those kinds of things. When it gets under the blood, he lets it go. It's gone. It's erased. We're not held anymore. And it's harder for us, of course. We live in this time world. And we have an enemy to fight against. And the enemy is always coming after us with those kinds of things. But the Lord wants us to be able to forgive from the inside. So when somebody starts talking about that person, you know, and they might be saying something, and you don't want what they did to you to be the first thing that pops in your mind. That shouldn't be there. If you have really taken it to God and it has been forgiven, it should not be the first thing that pops into your mind. It says tender-hearted. Oh, dear ones, we want to keep track of every little ill thing that is said, every little slight, whether it's real or imagined. Do you know how many imagined slights we keep track of? You know, they quit talking when I walked in the room, you know. That when I walked up to the group, all of a sudden they weren't interested anymore and they just kind of all dispersed. You know, they really don't want me around. All of these imagined slights. And, you know, I'm convinced that God lets us go through those things. I'm convinced that he puts us in uncomfortable places. I'm convinced he puts us in places where we have to develop some graces. You know, we have to develop some things. If he didn't put us in those kind of places, we wouldn't be able to develop the things that, and his attributes. We wouldn't be able to have that. So it says, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So we keep track of all these slights, all these hurts, all these disappointments. They come back to our mind from time to time. Many times I've met at the altar with many people that they're coming back to the altar again to try to get rid of this, to try to get victory over this thing that keeps coming up in their life and keeps coming up and keeps coming up, because the devil wants us to keep track of things. We're going to have to learn how to let those things go, and we're going to have to ask God to help us. He can help us to clean up, so to speak, our track record, what we've been keeping track of and what we've been taking notice of. God wants to be able to come in and clean all of that. In 1 Peter 3:9-12, it says, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Do you know that he can be against you for not doing outward evil, but for doing inward evil? To keep keeping record and track and holding people and saying, well, they treated me this way, I'm never going to so-and-so with them again, whatever it may be, all kinds of scenarios. I'm never going to do another job with them. I'm never going to agree to help them. Oh, we keep track of so many things, and it clouds up our minds. It says, not railing for railing, evil for evil. We know when we were out in sin, when somebody told us off, just let us know about ourselves. You know how we were. We were either defending ourselves and saying, we're not like that, or we were turning it around on them and saying, what about you? What about you? Keeping track of all the things that are being said and then saying it back. And then we go away from that conversation and we relive that conversation over and over and over. And we put the worst light on everything they did. And we put the best light on everything we did. And that's how we keep track. I'm a pretty good person. I keep track. I'm a pretty good person. But they're not very good because I keep track. And I know what they are and who they are. It says contrarywise, blessing. Oh, to bless. We have had a neighbor that lived next to us. And this neighbor, actually, it used to be their house that we bought and are living in. And they had moved in property next door. And we were living in their dream home. And they lost it through the economy and when everything crashed. They lost it. And we bought it. And they lived next door. And they had, they lived in the house. They had 25 cats. And it took us a year to be able to clean up and replace walls and everything from all of the cat smell. But we lived next door to them. And their cats, of course, thought this was home. You know, so we were having cats all the time, you know. And so we would chase them home and everything. But we never hurt any of them. We would just chase them home. Things like that. Well, some of the cats started dying, and they accused us of killing their cats. And we told them, no, they just were sure that we had killed their cats. And they just started being so ugly and everything towards us. And we were praying, and finally one day I told my husband, I said, we need to pray blessings down on them. They are very unhappy. And we need to pray blessings on them. And we started praying blessings on them. That the Lord would bless them. Instead of keeping track of all the things that they did, you know, but try to pray down blessings upon those that are not treating you right and accusing you and all these things. And it got to the point to where one day she was sitting out at the road. And out there at that road, and she had a big sign up. And I thought maybe she was, you know, selling something or whatever. Well, we got in our car and we went to drive by, and the sign was about us. And people were stopping. And on the sign it said, please help us to fight against our neighbors. They are killing our animals, and we need money to help fight. And people were stopping and giving them money. And not only that, but on that sign it said, and they claim to be Christians. Please help us stop this evil. And we drove by, and read that sign and I thought, oh Lord, what are we going to do? All of our neighbors are stopping. She's stopping all the neighbors. What are we going to do? How are we going to catch? You know, you can't protect your own reputation. You can't do it. But when she said on there, but they're Christians, I said, Lord, they're talking about you. They're talking about you now. They're trying to ruin your reputation. And so we went to praying and asking the Lord to help us some kind of way. And, you know, he sent a rain. She finally quit sitting down there at the end of her driveway, and she just had the sign propped up down there. And the Lord sent a rain, and that rain was so hard that the next day when I went by there, that sign, all of the words were gone. They were all gone, and even part of the wood was gone. It was like it just ripped it off. And I said, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. The Lord did it. See, we petitioned God to do something. Instead of keeping track of everything they were doing and trying to help our reputation and trying to, but she didn't give up. The next sign was made out of metal. And she had the same things on that metal sign. And she had that one out there. And I thought, oh, Lord, please help. And I kept telling him, Lord, that, you know, she's talking about you. And so we were still praying and say, Lord, you're going to have to do something. There's nothing we can do. You're going to have to do it. He sent a wind. And that wind was so strong that the next day when I went by, that sign was all crumpled up, just in a ball. And she was dragging it up the driveway. And she never put up another one. See, we can go to the Lord when things happen and things happen against us. We don't have to keep track of things. We don't have to try to straighten out our reputations or any of those kind of things. We know sometimes that people are saying bad things about us. We're smart human beings. We understand. And we know that some of those things are being done. But you know what? We don't keep track of those things. We leave it in the Lord's hands and we ask him to take care of it. We don't try to protect our reputations. We don't try to go around behind and get it all fixed up and make sure nobody's really thinking that. We don't have to do that. God will take care of it. Many times the reason we keep track is because we want to make sure that we're just a little higher than the other person. In other words, we're keeping track of all their misdeeds and we're keeping track of all of our good deeds and they're, you know, we want to make sure ours are, you know, we're much higher than what theirs are. Lord, help us to keep track of the right things. It says here, if you love life and see good days, refrain your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. From doing those things, entering into those things. I know we have probably all been in a place where we got caught up in a conversation and we realized we said too much. We shouldn't have said that or we shouldn't have agreed. You know what I'm saying? And the Lord begins to deal with us and talk with us. And we find out that we have to get ourselves out of those situations. Sometimes it means walking away when somebody starts to talk about somebody, to walk away and not let them speak to you and talk to you. People would rather spread bad news than good news. That's what our world does. They spread bad news, not good news. And every once in a while, you'll see a headline when you're reading on your, you know, the news of the day or whatever. And there'll be a good story about somebody rescuing somebody or helping or something. And it's such a refreshing You know, you just want to read the whole story. It's so wonderful. But the others, you read the headline and you go, that's enough. I don't need to know any more about that. I don't need to know any more. Sometimes we don't need to know any more. And we definitely don't need to keep track of it. I believe that if I were to call upon anybody here, and I won't do it, of course, but if I were to call on somebody and I says, quickly, name me 5 things that have happened good in the last week. Just right now, you're probably thinking about it in your mind. Can you get 5 real quick? Have you been keeping track of all the good? But if I said, tell me 5 things that happened bad this week. Oh, the car, the house, the door, the washer, something went wrong all these days, because it upsets me and upsets my free flow of whatever I want in my life. And so I remember it. But we don't remember the good things. Why is it that we can hear about bad things that happen all across the United States if something bad happens somewhere? But we don't know when somebody got healed over here. We still don't know it. Maybe out in California. We still haven't heard it. How is that possible? I know bad things that happen back here. How is that possible? Because we're keeping track of the wrong things. We need to keep track of the good things. We need to spread the good things. But the enemy of our soul, when we were in sin, we reveled in the things of sin, in the things of the enemy. And we got used to talking about people and keeping track of all the wrongs and always trying to fighting in our mind against somebody else. We got used to all of that out in sin. It almost seems like a friend. You know, when you're a little child, the devil comes in and he tries to talk to little children. And this is what he says. Your mama and daddy shouldn't have said that to you. And then what does he say? I remember the devil whispering in my ear and saying, you know, you just shouldn't even talk to them the rest of the day. Did you ever try to do that? I tried. I couldn't do it, but I tried when I was a little child. The devil suggested it. I'm upset. I'm not going to talk to them the rest of the day. That's the devil. See, he starts on little children. Yes. You know, And he becomes their friend. Why? Because he always sides with them. He always sides with them and against any authority. And so he sides with them in their minds, and their minds get toward doing evil and thinking evil and all, because he tries to make himself their best friend. And we get used to it. We get used to that in our heads. And so when we get saved, sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between the enemy and what's in our own heads, because we, out there in sin, we kind of got together and we reveled together. My mind and the enemy in my mind. And so then it's hard for me to tell the difference when I'm thinking something, or is it the devil coming against me? Is it just something I learned from him and I'm just carrying on in the ways he did? This keeping track, it is something we're going to have to fight throughout our life, not to keep track of the bad and evil things that happen to us, but to force ourselves to keep track of the good things in our life. So many people have so many different mental deficiencies and illnesses and depression and everything. Because why? Because they're keeping track of some things. They're keeping track of the wrong things. And it's overwhelming, and they can't live with it like that. They cannot live keeping track of those things. And what happens with the high suicide rate? Why is that there? They have found they can't live. They're teenagers. They hardly know what life is yet. But they have been so long in their own head with the enemy as their friend. But the enemy is their friend, telling them they're right. And yes, everything is bad and everything is wrong. And you might as well just go out here. It's never going to be better. And they just start keeping track. Yeah, this bad thing happened and that bad thing happened. And they're not friends with me. And on and on. And they get to the place to where the enemy can say, well, you might as well just end it all. And it just sounds like a good idea. And I'm convinced there's many that start to do that and realize at the last instant, oh no, what have I done? But it's too late. It's too late. We're going to have to keep track of the right things. God is so long-suffering with us, and we have to be long-suffering with our brothers and sisters. Yes. And we have to look on the things that they do and just compare it to you. Compare it to the real you. You know what I'm saying? The real you. How the long journey that God has brought you from the very beginning when you got saved. And he brought you on this long journey. And just think back of all the times that you were a little rebellious. And you didn't do it quite as soon as you knew you should. And you didn't say you were sorry quite like you needed to. Yes. And all, you know what I'm saying? Really look at yourself. You know, it's good for us to keep track of the things that the Lord brought us out of. Yes. And the places that we were willing, that we would say, oh, we're a Christian. And yet there were many lacks in us. If we keep track of the fact that God was so merciful, he knew we still had some things down in there. What does he do? He cuts off the surface of the thing. We come to him and ask him forgiveness, and he cuts off the surface. But there are so many roots, and there's so many things that are attached to other things in our life. So many. But he doesn't require those of us right then. Why are we so exacting with one another? Why can't we always say in our hearts, you know, they'll do better when they know better. They'll do better. We did better when we knew better. How many things have you found out about yourself, even up into old age now with me? I still find things. Yes. And I'm sometimes shocked. Yes. At what is there. Yes. Because I did not know. Yes. That there was a little root of that was there and reacting. And what does God have to do? He has to bring something to get that reaction to come so that you see it, so that you know it's there. But we need to keep track of all the times that God has come in and had mercy on us. It will be easier for us to have mercy on others if we keep track of all the mercy he has shown us. You know, I said this the other day. We come on Wednesday nights to testify, and it's like we have nothing to testify about. Well, how much mercy have you had in your life? You could probably every Wednesday pick another thing that God had mercy on and never run out. Yes. Just in that alone. But we have to keep track of the right things. We have to force our minds into a different mindset, a different groove. We have made this groove in our minds to concentrate on negative things, or evil things, or things that are being done to us, things that are not right. We have a tendency to spend a lot of time. We spend a lot of time in conversation about that, right? Things going on in the world. We can talk a long time about all the injustices and all the things that are going on in the world. All the things that are happening, and oh, it's so awful, and it's this. I mean, we have a lot to say. We should be keeping track of all that God is doing for us every day. We have a sister in our congregation. She starts out almost every prayer, Lord, thank you for waking us up this morning in our right mind. Because you know, you could wake up without it. You could wake up without it. See, we don't thank God enough. We don't keep track of the good things. Psalms 103, 1 through 10. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Oh, we forget. We keep track of the things that have happened to us. And this person talked this way and that thing happened to me. And I had a flat tire and I had, you know, had engine trouble and my washer went out. We keep track of everything. I burned the food for supper. We keep track. But we need to keep track of the benefits. We need to think of the benefits all day. You know, I was able to go through all those different things. Yes. That he gave me the mind to know how to be able to go through. That he helped me to hear his voice and figure out what to do next. Benefits. The mercies and the forgiveness and, oh, the love of God. The benefits that we have, that we experience every day. And we go through the day feeling like this is just a normal day. Yes, for a saint, it's a normal day. To have mercy, to have forgiveness given to us, see, from the Lord. To have mercy given to us, and love given to us, and forgiveness given to us, and gentle correction given to us. We take all those things and call it normal. But everything that comes against us, we make a list and we keep track. But what should we be keeping track of? All of those things, those benefits that he gave us all day long. At the end of the day, we should be thanking him for what all the things he did for us that day. If we didn't have a trial that day, we should be thanking him. He gave us a space. He gave us a space of rest. It's a wonderful thing, but no, we don't think that. We call it normal. Lord, help us to realize not to forget his benefits. Yes. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Yes, my Lord. Oh, Lord, you know, all of us have things go wrong practically in our bodies. Something, somewhere, something. Yes. Every week, several times a month, from a small thing like a canker sore in your mouth, you know, to cutting your finger, you know, to sprained ankle, something. Yes. And the Lord blesses us through all those things and helps us through all those things. And we take note of it and we say a quick prayer. Oh, Lord, bless this. And we wrap up the finger. We don't eat anything that makes that canker sore feel bad. And at the end of the day, do we say, thank you, Lord. It's all feeling better now. Or do we just go to bed and think about the sprinkler broke in the yard? Now I got to go and do this, and I got to go and do that, and this, and you know, we keep track of the wrong things. Yes, we need to cast all the cares on the Lord. Yes. And remember all the benefits. Yes. And all the good things that make our Christian life what we call normal. Because other people don't have that life out there. What we call normal, other people do not have. Yes. They are troubled on every side. Yes. All the time. The enemy is their master, and he works all the time to destroy them. We don't have that. There are days that you don't even notice that there is an enemy. The God is so close to you that day that you don't even know anything to fight against the enemy. Nothing. And then there's other days when the Lord, I wonder sometimes, on those days where we don't fight the enemy and we have one of those good, normal days, do we so profusely thank the Lord at the end of the day, so profusely, that he gives us another one? Or does he say, I guess tomorrow they need something different? Maybe they need a little something to remember me by. So I'll send them a little trial, and then they'll be calling on my name, and then they'll be saying I'm wonderful when I take them out of that. But I gave them this wonderful, easy, nice day, and they didn't even recognize it was me because they weren't keeping track. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. He does this. Are there some days you just have more energy and more strength? Do you spend that day? I'm afraid what we do, we should spend that day thanking God. Oh, I feel so good today. Thank you, Lord. Whatever you're doing, I so appreciate it. And just thank him profusely. I have more energy today. I feel so much better today. You know, thank you, thank you. Profusely thank him all day. Is that what we do? I'm afraid that we don't do that. I'm afraid we only think about God if we're not careful. We only think about God when we're not feeling good. Oh, Lord, I'm feeling so bad today. We want to talk to him all day about that. We want to talk to him all day that this is hurting or that's hurting or I feel so weak today. Oh, Lord, help me, help me, help me. But the day I had strength, I didn't say all day, oh, Lord, I thank you for this. And a half hour later, oh, I'm so thankful what you're doing for me today. Or we have those really good days. You know what we do with them? We catch up on all the stuff we couldn't do when we weren't feeling good. We don't give the Lord special time, special energy, special prayer. No, we say, oh, because I have a list, you see, of things that need to get done. And I haven't been feeling so well. And so now this day that the Lord has made to give me solace and rest and all, I'm going to fill up that whole day with getting everything on my list done. We're not keeping track of the right things, are we? It would be better to spend that whole day in your closet and thanking the Lord. Because maybe then, just for because of his mercy and because he loves us, and because he appreciates your thankfulness, he might string a whole bunch of those days together for you to get those things done. Yes. Or you can rush to get them all done in one day, not thank him profusely enough, and the next day, not feeling so good. Yes. And then, what do we keep track of on that day? We say on that day, ooh, I'm so glad I got all that done yesterday. Because I don't feel good today. You see the kind of things we keep track of? We're keeping track of the wrong things. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Oh, isn't that true? Oh, when we're oppressed, we're looking for his righteousness and his judgment. But you know what? When somebody else is being oppressed, we need to remember them. You know, we have a hard time remembering all the prayer requests. We're human, I know. But why can we remember some lists very well and other lists not so well? Because it has to do with us. That's why. See, I can remember to ask the Lord for all of the things that are wrong in my life today. But I may not remember all the things that were wrong in your life. Why? Because it doesn't concern me. I keep track of me, see. I keep track of everything I need. But I don't necessarily keep track of everything my brother needs. Our lists are all mixed up. We should think less of our needs and more of the needs for others. We should remember more their requests than our own. He made his ways known unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Oh, you know, he's made known to us, just like Moses, the children of Israel, he has made known to us things. Do we have a list? Can we call them up? Can we remember? We have a tendency to only remember huge things that happened. But we need to remember all, even the little things that God has done for us. Why? Because if we remember all of the little things that are in the negative realm, you know the verse that says the little foxes. See, all those little negative things, all of those little lists we keep and we hold everybody and remember, you know, from our childhood, you know, you can go back into your childhood. Do you remember the best days you had at school, or do you remember the day that so-and-so did you wrong? Or the teacher graded your paper, you know, and you really deserved an A. But the stories you tell, it's true. The stories we tell about our life sometimes is so much in the negative. We need to remember and keep track of all the things that God has done, all his benefits, everything that he's been doing for us and for everyone around us. We need to thank him more, be more thankful all the time. We need to change these lists that we're making. We shouldn't be able to make lists and put 1, 2, 3, 4. You know what I'm saying? We shouldn't be able to do that. We shouldn't be able to remember that this person has done this 4 times. This person always. This person never. Why do we say these things? Because that's what's in our mind. That's what we're keeping track of. That's what's there. The last verse says, he hath not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. He hasn't done that. He has not done that. Psalms 19, 7 through 14. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Do we remember the laws, the testimony? Do we remember those things? The statutes of the Lord are right. Can we remember those things? Can we testify about those things? Can we tell our neighbors and our friends about the law and the testimony and the statutes? It says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Seems like we should meditate a little bit on those things. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, than the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. More to be desired than gold. What are we supposed to desire more than gold? The law, the testimony, the statutes, the commandments, the fear of the Lord, and the judgments of the Lord. Those are more to be desired than gold. None of us usually walk over money on the street, do we? I mean, we don't. We usually pick it up. I've been impressed that over here on this front bench, there has been a quarter and a dime sitting on that bench for most of the meeting. I'm sure it came out of one of the children's pockets that was sitting there. And they probably don't even know where they lost it. I don't know if it's still there or not, but it was. And they lost it. And people have walked by there, they've sat there, they've done everything, and they've left that money alone. That's good. That's a good thing. But you know how precious gold is, and money, and our finances, and all these things, precious things. If somebody told us, oh, they are picking up great big huge gold nuggets out in the creek down the road. People are just walking around. Some mountain must have broke loose and they're just all running down the creek. There'd be a lot of us out there looking for our gold nugget. And we have them already. This is what the Lord is saying to us. The law and the testimony, the statutes, the commandments, the fear, the judgments, those are the things we should be keeping track of. That's the gold. That's what's really valuable in our lives. And by all these things, it says, we are warned. Oh, you know, people go a long way to warn us about things, don't they? I mean, we have signs on the roads. We have sirens. We have all manner of things to warn us. We have these things that we can get a hold of every single day to warn us of things. And as we've heard in this meeting, in several messages about, and testimonies and all, about people having trouble keeping up with their reading. So all the warnings are going unheeded because they haven't read any warnings today. They didn't read any warnings today. It is good to read and to understand and to commune with God and to keep track of all of the good things that He does for us and recite them back to Him. And tell Him how much we appreciate them. I don't know about you, but I'm a parent. And if my child was to come to me, which a lot of them in their older age they have, Mother, you did it right. You raised us right. We were wrong. Do you know that feels good?
Yes.
It endears them to you, doesn't it?
Yes.
It endears them to you because why? Because now, they didn't maybe heed the warnings then, but they understand it now.
Yes.
The Lord wants us to understand all the warnings.
Yes,
but we're too busy keeping track of the offenses instead of the warnings for our own soul. Or we're too busy keeping track of all the warnings for somebody else's soul. And that's why when a message is going forth, sometimes you'll see people sitting next to each other and they nudge each other with the elbow. You know, that happens.
Yes.
Why? Because I'm keeping track of what you need. And obviously, this is it. Pay attention.
Yes.
Right? But do we nudge ourselves? Pay attention. Pay attention. This is what you really need right here. Because we aren't going to recognize it. Just like the one sitting next to us that we're nudging, they're probably not recognizing it. So you're going to help them. Well, you're in the same place. You're not recognizing it either because there was probably a warning in this message for you. But you missed it because you were so busy thinking about they need this. I'm keeping track of what all you need. And I'm going to make sure that you understand you need it. And you need to get it. But I don't keep track of me. What I need. What I need to get. I need to have a list about me. You want to make a list and put numbers to it. 1, 2, 3, 4. Do them about yourself. What do you need? Make a list. What do I need spiritually? What could I use more of? What do I just desire more of? Make a list. Think about it. Meditate on it. Lord, how do I get this? What do I need to do? Show me how. Give me wisdom. Help me to understand your ways. It says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Secret faults. And I'm not talking about the secret that I don't want anybody else to know I did this. No, I'm talking about the I'm oblivious. I don't know I have a fault. It's secret to me. I have no idea. Everybody else around me may be able to see it. But I'm completely oblivious to what it is. I have no idea. And then I'm thoroughly shocked when I see it. And yet others were seeing it. Why is it so easy for us to see everyone else's faults, but we can't see our own? Because, you know, it's easy for you to see everyone else's faults because you don't have to deal with it. You don't have to confess it. You don't have to say, yes, that's who I am. You don't have to hear the bad thing. So I can keep track of all of his faults, but I don't know my own. I haven't made that list. Secret faults. They're secret to me. I don't know I have them. Help us. Help us dig. Help us to allow the Lord to talk to us and keep track of all of the right things. This is so important because this happens to us every day. This happens to us. We are either keeping track of the Lord's ways and his good things, or we are keeping track of the evil things that come our way and the things the enemy wants us to keep track of. We're doing one or the other. Our minds are not blank. We don't have blank minds. That's why sometimes we can't get to sleep at night, because we don't have a blank mind. It says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Presumptuous sin. Arrogant, proud sin. Not me. It's not me, Lord. It's them. It's them. I didn't say anything wrong. They just took it the wrong way. It's not my fault that they took it that way. That's their problem. Presumptuous. It's not me, Lord. It's them standing in the need of prayer. It's not me. The last scripture is, let the words of my mouth, the meditation in my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. See, let the words not only be right, but the meditation in my heart, what I'm keeping track of, what I revel in every day. Do I revel in chaos and offenses and rejections and all kinds of discouraging things? Is that what I revel in every day? Or do I revel in the Lord, his goodness, his blessings, all the things that he has done for me, all the things that he has done for others? You know, there's nothing wrong. If you can't think of anything for yourself, or you run out, you just start thanking the Lord for others and what you've seen that the Lord has done for them. Just thank the Lord. Just get to tracking the right things. It'll be something that you will have to work on. It'll be something that you will have to exercise every day. You'll have to exercise yourself. You start doing this, and you will find that your mind keeps wanting to go back to that other place. And you're going to have to pull it in all day long to keep track of the right things. Amen.